It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping off before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
better run. Morning, everybody. Thursday, debate day. Presidential debate day. We got that tonight in round two of the NBA draft. So whatever is your pleasure, go ahead and got plenty of TV viewing today. We don't have Jeffrey Day. We got Connor Dunning filling in because Jeffrey's off gallivanting. He is, I think he's in Las Vegas and or is headed towards Las Vegas. So sadly, what that means is we hate to disappoint you. No Righter Than Right trivia. No, it's a bye week. Consider this a bye week from Righter Than Right trivia. You can still go to Cerrito Entertainment and see what's up in the world of trivia for Kevin and catch him around town this week. But you won't catch him on the radio station until next week. And Kevin Cerrito will be back. We will have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He was down at FedEx Forum for the Grizzlies draft last night. And because that was a wildly polarizing evening, we'll probably take your calls. We haven't been doing that a lot lately, but I think we'll probably take your calls. So that is the show today. The only guest we have is Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Plenty to talk about, however, because in addition to the Grizzlies having a big, the University of Memphis has an AD. Ed Scott, who will be introduced tomorrow at a press conference. So we'll get to talking about that at some point as well. But we begin with the pick last night of Zach Edey. And it was an interesting evening as it unfolded. Connor, where'd you watch? Were you watching on your TV at home?
We went to Huey's.
You went to Huey's. Mm-hmm. Was there a gathering to watch at Huey's? Did they have sound on at Huey's?
They did not have sound on, but the draft
was on. You're
watching
no sound on.
The draft was on every single TV except for one, which very importantly was showing a pickleball tournament on some other channel. They no sound, but it was a pretty big crowd. People were wearing Grizzlies gear,
really?
And there was a reaction to the pick. It was, I would say, mostly positive, though, from people
at
in
Huey's.
The building.
At Huey's. You heard.
There, it was. We'll get into it, I think.
Yeah, we certainly will get into it.
There was a certain trend of people who didn't like the pick.
Well, it was an interesting to see. Normally, over the course of my career here in Memphis, I've always been at draft headquarters, including the very first one when it was Powell and Shane who were acquired in that draft. And that one, they didn't have a headquarters, so Vancouver was operating on the fly, and so it was at the Peabody. And here's the truth. After they left, I don't know why I didn't keep this. This was back in the old days when paper mattered more, right? And I walked into what was the conference room that had been their draft headquarters after I filed my column at 2 in the morning, and there was their draft order. Like their own personal draft sheet. I just picked it up. And so I saw who was ranked where on their own draft sheet. I don't have the advantage of that. I wasn't even there last night. I watched from the privacy of my own home. It was fun. It's fun to watch because you get the commentary. It's just like, here's the truth. Super Bowl is better watching on TV than in person, and draft was fun to digest. So anyway, it goes the way everyone expected. Risa Shea first, Sar second. It's kind of remarkable to have two French dudes picked one and two. And then another one, by the way, is picked sixth. And then another one picked in the course of the first round. And then another one evidently will be picked today. Vive la France. So that happens. And then very quickly, Houston didn't tarry at all. They just jumped right up there and took Reed Shepard. So this is going purely according to the way it had been predicted. And then you got a pick I hated just because I think they're going to be hellacious. You get Stephon Castle going to San Antonio again, as it was predicted. It was all unfolding. He's wearing the diamond encrusted, the diamond castle. That was a nice touch. Did you like that touch?
I did like it.
You like the castle?
I like the castle.
Yeah, I like the castle too. So, but I hate what they're doing because I think they're going to be monstrous in about 3 years or 2 years. So that happens. And then we get to the intrigue. And if you've been listening to this show for any time, you knew Chris Harrington has said all along that this is where the pivot would be. Is Detroit either going to make the pick available, or is Detroit going to go ahead and take Klingon and then make a center available? They did neither of those things. They took Ron Holland. Kind of a surprise. That was the first surprise, right? I don't hate it for Detroit. You do wonder about the shooting on that team, but they're going for upside, right? Talent acquisition. Did you hate the Ron Holland pick?
No, I loved it. I kind of loved it for him. Yeah. If anyone was going to take Ron Holland, I said it should be the Wizards.
And he likes Teddy Pendergrass. I actually think big swing on Ron Holland. Didn't hate that at all for them. Shooting will be an issue, but whatever. Talent acquisition. So then we have the drama, because now it's Charlotte. And you get a report. First of all, Adrian is on TV, Adrian Wojnarowski, talking about how the Grizzlies want to go up to get Klingon. And then you have a report from Jake Fisher of Yahoo saying it's happening. The Grizzlies are trading up. John Martin, and I do not blame him for this, he said, "Welcome to Memphis, Donovan Klingon." Because he's reacting off the report. Literally, it wasn't, "Hey, Grizzlies might, Grizzlies could, Grizzlies are working toward." No, it was from Yahoo, a totally credible draft dude, NBA dude, says the trade is in. Fake news. Fake news. What did you think when that happened? I believed it. Why wouldn't I believe it?
Oh, it broke my heart. I almost did a backflip in Huey's.
It broke your heart when you heard it was fake news.
Oh, yes. When I saw it.
When you see that they're drafting Tijan Salloon, I'm like, what in the world just happened?
You could feel it hit Huey's all at once. I think that everybody got the notification at the same time because every guy was staring at their phone because we knew that Woj and everybody was ahead of the actual draft on the TV. So there a buzz began.
It's a little weird when Woj is talking about the effort to move up.
Right.
It's a little weird, and in retrospect, when Woj didn't actually tweet the news.
So I almost did what John did. I had a tweet in the drafts. I still might have it in the drafts that said, "Welcome to Memphis, Donovan Klingon." I noticed Woj was on the screen, and I was like, Woj isn't saying anything. It doesn't say it on ESPN yet.
Oh, so you paused.
I paused
strategically. You had a moment of skepticism.
Pause. Yes.
Well, because very clearly, and we'll get into how polarized this we are today, over the pick that they did make. Very clearly, and there were, you would have 5% of the people objecting to if they had done that, given up a protected first, and gotten Donovan Klingon, we would. Today would just be all celebration, right? Don't you agree? Like, Donovan Klingon had emerged as the people's champion of this draft.
Absolutely.
In Memphis. And he's there. He's in the green room. He's decked out in bow tie, tux, looking dapper. So it was kind of, bewildering and a little heartbreaking. And honestly, you're like saying to Charlotte, what the hell, man? You don't think you could have gotten Salloon at 9? But honestly, I think My son Peter was at the draft. He's ticked off at Charlotte. He's like, if you could have gotten him with 9, but here's the truth: you don't know. Like, you just don't know. You don't know. And so if they really think Saloon is, you know, the next superstar in the league, and he certainly has tools, I can see taking him. Anyway, they take him. And then at that point, now you're like, all right, we know how this is going to go. So Dillingham goes. He's ultimately traded to Minnesota. And sure enough, Portland takes Donovan Clingan. And so then we have the moment of truth. Here we are. You're looking at Dalton Knecht is there. A lot of people didn't think Dalton Knecht would be there. Buzelis is there. A lot of people didn't think Buzelis would be there. Cody Williams is there. Cody Williams was a lot of people that projected him to go to the Grizzlies. And Zach Edey was there. So at that moment, if you were Zach Kleiman and had to walk up and make, you know, had to hand in the card, make a pick, you weren't allowed to trade down. You had to make a pick in that slot. Who would you have taken?
Who would I have taken?
Who would you have taken? In that moment, right there, who would you have taken? We now know the options that were available. Dalton Knecht, Buzelis. I think those are the ones you're only dealing with, right? Unless you're including...
Maybe Devin Carter.
Devin Carter.
Maybe.
Maybe the other one would have been an option. Cody Williams. Who would you have taken?
I think I would have taken Zach Edey.
You would have taken Zach Edey. Well, let's see what the Grizzlies did, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is from Adam Silver himself.
With the 9th pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select Zach Edey from Toronto and Purdue University.
Listen to the reaction.
Wow.
Wow. Listen to the reaction. And we had a similarly polarized reaction on social media. I do want to give a hat tip to my colleagues at the Daily Memphian. Drew went to the draft combine. And at the time, I don't think there was a lot of the only talk about Zach Edey was, I hope we don't pick Zach Edey at that point. And Drew talks to him and says, I like Memphis. Zach Edey himself says, I like Memphis. Zach Kleiman last night said that Zach Edey let the cat out of the bag at that combine. It's interesting. I appreciate the work of a lot of people during the offseason who cover the Grizzlies. Drew, with his coverage of Zach Edey, breaking the news about the new assistant coach hire, he has been on top of it. And we really, at that moment, it's like, oh, Zach Edey is like, there could be something here. Chris Harrington wrote a piece 2 days ago pointing out, could very well be Zach Edey at 9, and I think, and we will ultimately take calls from the naysayers, but I think that I think that Jeffrey, and I know that I have been saying all along, I would not hate it. I'm not doing handsprings, but I would not hate it if they pick Edey at 9. Lots of people seem to hate it. The vitriol that was unleashed, I don't actually think I have ever seen, when they didn't pick Rodney Hood and they picked Jordan Adams, that was wildly unpopular. But here's the truth. Hashim Thabeet was unpopular from Harrington hated it, and some others hated it, but it didn't unleash the vitriol. I don't even think that Zach Edey unleashed last night. People, about half the Grizzlies fans seem to hate this thing. And it was interesting to me. Like, you start and you look at the reaction, you think, well, what's this about? One thing I saw instantly was Hashim Thabeet 2.0, which, with all due respect, is crazy. He is large, and Hashim Thabeet is large, and they do have that in common. That's about it. Hashim Thabeet was a physical, he was a giant. He scored 13, his last year he averaged 13, 6, and 8, 5. 13.6 points a game, 8.5 rebounds a game. Zach Edey doubled that, essentially. 25.2 and 13.8. Like, he was dramatically more productive. Two-time player of the year. First back-to-back player of the year since Ralph Sampson. Like, wildly productive, not a project, wildly productive college player. He also, so Hashim Thabeet never got better because he didn't give a flip. But also, like, you couldn't throw him the ball. He had no hands. Like, he had, Zach Edey has his limitations, which we will get to, but is remarkably skilled offensively, which Hashim Thabeet never was. So do not give me, he may turn out to be unsuccessful as Hashim Thabeet was unsuccessful. He is not Hashim Thabeet 2.0 at all. So the second reaction I heard was, well, like Zach Edey, don't like him at 9. That's one I have almost the least use for. If you like Zach Edey at 15 or 17, you should like him at 9. It just doesn't matter. Like, first of all, you think that you know who's going to go where they're going to go. You don't. Did you think that Dalton Knecht was going to last to 17 to the Lakers? No. Did you think Saloon was going to go 6 to Charlotte? No. The idea that you think, well, you could have gotten him, maybe you could have, maybe you couldn't have. They clearly wanted him. So that reaction is silliness to me. I do think the reaction was heightened for two reasons. And this is what we can get into a little bit, Connor. One is, we've seen him. Like, if they had drafted Tijan Saloon, what could people say? They could say, well, don't know. Like, right? You know what? Never seen him. This guy we've seen. We have seen him. We have seen him. We've seen him bust 2 years ago, losing in the first round of the NCAAs. We see him get to the championship game this year. We've seen him. So it's easy to have an opinion on him. And he's a giant. And people always have opinions on giants. That's just true. And then we get to the part of this that you particularly have noticed, Connor. You think there's a certain orange tint to the criticism?
I think so.
Explain.
So I just began noticing, because I also get notifications from our 929 account, and a few of my friends were telling me there seemed to be a trend of messages I was getting from the detractors, and there was orange either in the bio, in the picture, or in the name. And I'll just kind of leave it at that.
It was Zach Tennessee Edey. Fans. And he beat the hell out of them.
And
he got too many foul calls. And they hate him.
And we didn't take Dalton Knecht.
And Dalton Knecht was right there.
So it is, to Tennessee fans, it seems like it is a betrayal of the Memphis Grizzlies to the state of Tennessee, which I'm not sure.
Well, that
I agree
part's
with.
Silliness.
But yeah, it's I understand that, though. I get it. Because when they watch the game, Zach Edey beat them in. It was, he got to the free throw line.
And
he was standing in the paint.
He's standing in the paint.
And I totally understand why they hate him.
And that
him.
Game is not a game that will perfectly translate. What he did in college, he will not be allowed to do on all kinds of ways in the NBA.
Right.
So, but there's, I think we have to admit that it's not completely an unbiased take from Tennessee fans. But so we got what we got, and they sit there, and they take Zach Edey. Now, we are going to fire up a Jeff Calkins Show poll, and we will see what the people think. And subsequently, in the next segment, we will take calls. We're not doing it right now, but in the next segment, we'll take calls on this. But let's have the poll say, do you like the, or what do you think of the Zach Edey pick, something like that. A, love it. B, hate it. C, wait and see. Something along those lines. Can we do something like that, Connor?
And, just sent out.
Oh, it's out already. Boy, you're on top of this. All right, so let me go here, and I will retweet it. And what we always do here is we now predict how the poll will go. So, do you send it out under where? Where is it? 929, or is it my tag?
929.
Okay, hold on. Let's see. 929 account. It goes. Here we go. All right. It is now. Poll is live. Let me ask you this. Who's going to win? I think wait and see wins.
I agree.
What are the proportions? Is Love It or Hate It going to be bigger?
I think Love It is going to be slightly bigger than Hate It.
If we had made it just Love It or Hate It and taken away Wait and See, which is the total cop-out.
Ooh. Hate It might win out then.
Hate It would be Love It.
I think that
Wait and See
people.
Because even the Love Its are the Wait and See people.
Right.
They're Love It. I think I like it. Let's wait and see.
Right.
The Hate Its are they're dug in. They're not undecided voters.
Because I'm a supporter, but I think if I were forced to choose between the three, I'd go Wait and
exactly,
See.
I think you make a good point. I am a supporter, but it's silly not to say wait and see.
Right.
If that's an option, I think I'll wait and see. I'll wait and see. All right, we do have various opinions on this that were shared on social media. Let's go con first. This is Kristen Peek from Yahoo, who does not, she would be in the hated category. Here we go.
The Memphis Grizzlies selected 7'4", 300-pound Zach Edey with the 9th overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft. This is shocking, considering the way that the NBA is turning in terms of value and upside as a hybrid center. He's more of a back-to-the-basket, Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon type, and I absolutely have no idea how he's going to fit in the backcourt with Ja Morant. He only connected on 8% of his shots off pick and rolls, and defensively, he's a liability in the pick and roll with his limited footwork. There's defensive 3 seconds. Teams are going to hunt him in the pick and roll. This is one of the shockingest picks I've ever seen in the NBA draft, especially at the top 10. You're looking at what Memphis Grizzlies are leaving on the table with Tristan Da Silva, the 6'9", very versatile forward out of Colorado, even Cody Williams, the younger brother of Jalen Williams and his upside. So to me, this has got to be a terrible pick. I'm giving it a C grade, and we'll see if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm happy to take the L, but this is one of the worst picks I've seen in draft history.
But it's a C. But it's a C.
But it's a C.
Worst
one
pick
of, one
in,
of the
in
worst
draft history,
in draft history.
I'm going to give it a C.
Okay. Here's Matt Norlander from CBS, who has a very, very different opinion.
And all I can tell you is in checking in with sources over the past week, Edey in his workouts was absolutely emphatically dominant. I had two sources tell me it got to a point with two separate workouts that they almost had to stop them midway through because he was so ridiculously impressive physically on the floor. You can't teach the size. And what happened here was there was a lot of smoke with the Grizzlies trying to move up to maybe get Klingon. Ultimately, they held firm and they draft the big that outplayed Klingon head to head, obviously, in the national championship game, even if Klingon's team got the W, but also the stats across the board, the stats at the combine. Zach Edey has a tremendous reputation, not just for how hard he plays, how well he's developed, how much of a teammate he is, and we have to reinforce this. He is the combination of a proven, legitimately dominant, once-in-a-generation college player, and he is also very much on the rise. He has not played high-level competitive ball for more than 6 years at this point. He has an incredible chance at continuing to move up and get to be better and better and better. So with Edey, the reputation as a dominant college player ultimately won out over the stigma of being a big man. A variety of teams viewed Edey as a guy, a prospect that with what he did, what he accomplished and how big he was, you really don't get a guy like him more than once in a generation. Memphis didn't want to wait any longer. Congrats to Edey and his family. Top 10 pick.
Yeah, let's not remember. In the title game, 37 points against Donovan Klingon. They lost, but he was not the reason. 15 of 25 in that game. A few other things I wanted to say about this. Then I have a question for you. First of all, the reaction to the draft doesn't matter. Like, in the end, you know who was booed on draft night? Jaylen Brown. You know who was booed on draft night? Penny Hardaway. You know who was booed on draft night? Kristaps Porzingis, Reggie Miller, Steve Nash, Kawhi, John Stockton. All wildly unpopular picks, all pretty damn good picks in the end. The reaction does not matter. And then we can go in the NFL, same thing. The Donovan McNabb. Like, we've seen this over and over and over again. Here's the truth. We know nothing. So, I mean, it's the future. That's why you have to, that's why the smart vote is wait and see. Secondly, I really do think that is Zach Edey the kind of future all-star that you would like to be getting at 9, typically? No, I don't believe that. Do I ever think he's going to make an all-star team? Do you?
I have doubts about that.
I have doubts, too.
I'm not sure that is what he needs to do, though, for the Grizzlies.
Right, exactly. I think this draft was framed by, and you saw a lot of this in the draft, honestly. You saw different people, different teams, really focused on where they are in the trajectory of the franchise. And so Minnesota has a hard time scoring the half court. So what do? They go get an offensive wizard, and they give up future picks that could come back and bite them in the ass. But Minnesota doesn't care.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Care. Minnesota is in to win it right now. The team that they dealt with to go up and get Rob Dillingham, San Antonio, and it's interesting, they just don't care if they win again next year, very clearly. Like, they're like, oh, we're going to get future draft assets? Because someday we're going to be coming, and we may use those future draft assets and draft that we just got from Minnesota, or we may use them to make trades to put around Wemby when we're ready to win. But we're not there yet. And with the Grizzlies, now they didn't do what Minnesota did. But with the Grizzlies, are like, we are where we are. We have the need we have. The timing of this is that most players. This is not true of Dalton Kanak. Dalton Kanak would have stepped in and contributed next year. In the same way that Luke Kennard currently contributes, right? Like, whatever. Like, duplicative talent. If you keep Kennard, that's a duplicative talent. But most of the players that you're talking about them getting there, you know, Cody Williams, Buzelis, the guys, they weren't going to step in and help this year. Zach Edey will. They have a clear need, center. They have a clear timing issue. They want to win this year and next year. And they're in a crappy draft. And so if you can get a guy who can play 20 minutes a game next year or 18 minutes a game next year and help you win, even if it's in the regular season, maybe play less in the playoffs, we'll see, depending on what the matchups are, that's where this team is. And so that very clearly framed the pick. Now, when Zach Kleiman talked about this last night, we had Adrian saying they were trying to get up to get Donovan Klingon. We had Jake Fisher saying they had traded to get up to get Donovan Klingon. And then we had Zach Kleiman, when he was asked about it, he said, this is exactly what we were hoping would happen tonight. And then he was asked about the reports that they had tried to trade up, and he said, I didn't see the reports. This is exactly what we were hoping would happen tonight. On the truthometer, the truthometer, liar, liar, pants on fire would be on one scale to this is God's own truth. Where do you put Zach Kleiman on his quote, this is exactly what we were hoping would happen tonight? Do you believe the guy that they hoped they would come away with last night is Zach Edey?
I do not believe that.
I don't either.
I do not believe that whatsoever. There was too much smoke in them trying to move up.
If it had just been the Jake Fisher thing.
Right.
But when Adrian is reporting that they're trying to move up, they would not have had to move up to get Zach Edey. They just wouldn't.
Right.
There was no circumstance. I just don't. I like the pick. I'm perfectly content with the pick, even though I'm in the wait and see. And partly I'm reacting to the vitriol to the pick. I'm pushing back against the hatred. It's not the insane pick. It's a totally rational pick. But do I believe they got their guy? No.
I also don't think he could have said anything else. I didn't want him to come out and say, well, we got our backup choice. You can't say
that's the guy at number nine. Well, and maybe it's true. Let's parse the words. This is exactly what we were hoping would happen tonight. I actually think, here's what I do believe. Before they came out, they talked about, what are we going to say when we're asked about, did we prefer Donovan Klingon? And they said, what can we say that is true, but it is also doesn't say, no, we got our backup choice. This sentence, this is exactly what we were hoping would happen tonight. If what they were hoping was to come away with a big who can play this year, this is exactly what they were hoping would happen tonight.
Right.
That's technically true. Yeah, what we were hoping to happen is we'd get one of these two players. Like, if that, yeah, that's, if depends on how you frame your hopes. It's just like if you're an NFL, we hope we come out with a potential starting quarterback. No, we didn't get Caleb Williams, but we got one of the other guys. So that's what we were hoping would happen tonight. Doesn't mean that we would have, you know, taken someone over Caleb Williams. We prefer Caleb Williams, but we were hoping to get a starting quarterback. We were hoping to get a starting big. We were hoping to get a guy who would be our next Steven Adams, Jonas Valanciunas, whatever else. So I think it's technically true, but it's a lie.
I think part of that answer could also be that they were able to keep their assets, and most notably Marcus Smart. They didn't have to give up anything to get Zach Edey, which I think is probably one of the reasons they're pretty happy about it, too. Because it just never made any sense to me to trade up to three and use Marcus Smart to go get a rookie big.
Well, and here's the other thing. I'll ask you this. Is Donovan Klingon, let's say it would have been a protected first. Let's say it was next year's protected first. Is Donovan Klingon, are we confident that Donovan Klingon is a protected first better than Zach Edey? Am I confident? Sure. I'm not sure.
Not confident. I'll wait and see.
I think it's wait and see. How's our poll doing right now?
Right. So we have 165 votes already.
Yes.
Love it has 39.4%. Uh-huh. Hate it only 4.8. Wait and see 55.8.
So the haters are more. Well, I think there's two phenomena that we're observing here. One is haters are louder. That's just true in life, right? Haters are louder. And two is even if you hated it, you talk yourself into it. That is just true of hires. It's true of draft picks. It's true of if you are a fan of a team. It was true of my son, Peter. There's evidently video obtained of Peter in Brooklyn last night. They make the pick, and a friend has video of him walking away, you know, the way you would in disgust. By the time I talked to him an hour later, he was fine with it. He was like, you know what? If you just take away the number 9, if you just say 16 or 17, he's not saying you should have traded down. He's just saying in terms of framing it in your mind, the way he thinks about it, he said, I'm fine with it. Yeah. He said he can be a useful player, a useful piece. And so I think those things are happening. So, but the wait and see is winning by, what is the wait and see?
Wait and see has 55.8. It just jumped up.
Yeah, these things. Polls are fluid. It's a constantly evolving poll. Poll is up at the Jeff Gawkins show. The hate-its are being routed.
They're being crushed.
Maybe I'm giving too much attention to the hate. That's possible.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If the whole Jake Fisher Charlotte deal didn't happen and there was no bait and switch with Klingon, do you think people would feel a little happier with the Zach Edey pick at 9? Or do you think that
I think the bait and switch produced the disappointment, but it didn't produce the vitriol.
I think that's fair.
The people who hated him because they're Tennessee fans or because they've decided he's a big stiff or because they've decided, but not. I think sort of that's how that emerged. Okay, final question here before we will open the phones after this. Next year, what will his role be next year? Will he start next? Will he start game one next year? How many minutes will he average next year?
I think there's a strong possibility with how the roster looks right now that he will start at the 5. My hope is that he can give you 20 to 25 minutes, get you to the end of the fourth quarter, and then Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. close the games. That is what my hope for his role is next year. Just maybe just go out there and grab 10 rebounds a game and set screens and defend the rim. That's all he has to do. I understand people have questions about his footwork speed and his defense in space, but I think that those are things he can improve on. I am excited to see Jaren Jackson Jr.'s numbers next to him now that he can float a little bit more on the defensive end and he doesn't have to worry about trying to rebound. I think that Zach Edey, his role is going to be protect the rim, set bone-crushing screens that might have an elbow in them, and catch lobs.
I don't hate the elbow.
I don't hate the elbow at all. I miss the elbow from Steven Adams.
So, And very clear. I mean, the Grizzlies talk about, you know, optionality or whatever, flexibility. So you could have Edie and Jaren lineups where Jaren is able to be the roaming, chaos creating, you know, ball swatting big that he was when he was Defensive Player of the Year. You can have Jaren and Brandon Clark lineups. You can have Jaren and Santi Aldama lineups. Like you've got a lot of options here. Very clearly, they did ask this question. Kevin Pelton addressed it over at ESPN, and he said, "I think 20 minutes a game is a reasonable guess for Edie now that the Grizzlies have invested the number 9 pick to take him as their center of the future. I'd bet him averaging 21 points and 13.7 rebounds per 36 minutes, which would translate to 12 points a game, 7.5 rebounds a game, 1 block per game." One of the interesting things about Zach Edie is that we know offensively he was the focal point of that team in a way that he will not be and cannot be in with the Grizzlies, right? That's just, they're not just going to feed him. You do have to guard him. And it's interesting. People loved Jonas. People probably loved Jonas more than they should have loved Jonas, right? Like, when a big is wreaking havoc and doing big things, it's sort of actually fun to watch. And so there will be an element of that. Defensively, his block rate for a giant, for a guy who's 7'4", not impressive in college. Part of what you heard last night and part of what you've heard all along is he was told not to foul out. Like, he knew, of course, that the officials were in his pocket. But he wasn't particularly aggressive. And when it came to blocking shots and things like his job was to be on the floor. And so can he be, in some ways, yes, he will struggle in space. Of course he will struggle in space. Can he be a more effective defender, though, because he can be a more aggressive defender when he's just one of many bigs on the Grizzlies is an interesting question there. I do, he's not going to get up and down the floor with Ja. You know, he works well with Ja in the sort, the bone-crushing pick stuff. He's not going to get up and down the floor with Ja, very clearly. I don't know that Ja needs him running up and down the floor with him. He's got other guys running up and down the floor with him. So there you go. All right. The pick is in, and now we're going to take a break, and then we will come back and take calls. The phone number is 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929, if you want to give us your thoughts on what the Grizzlies did last night. After that, Chris Harrington will join us to give us his thoughts. And then later on today, we'll talk about Memphis and their new AD. It's a Jeff Calkins Show with Connor Dunning on a Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, we got Connor Dunning here with me today. Jeffrey is off gallivanting. No righter than right trivia, sadly, but that opens up. We got lots of time. We even have time to see what the people think. The phone number is 901-445-0929. Taking your calls about the Zach Edey era commencing in Memphis, Tennessee. Do you love it? Do you hate it? You wait and see? Do you have any other opinion you'd like to get off your chest? 901-445-0929. Who do we got?
First one up is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing wonderful, man.
Well, good.
I can't understand the people that's against Zach Edey. I mean, the guy's improved every year that he's played. He's only been playing, 6 years? And then when you hear the last person that you had that made a comment about him, well, one lady was talking about it was bad, but she rated it a C.
C.
And But the second gentleman that you had, I can't
remember. Matt Norlander.
Matt Norlander. And he talks about how the work ethic of this guy. Work ethic is one of the most important things in the development of a young player. You know, I mean, he's dedicated. He's trying to get skill in his craft. He doesn't mind going into the lab to get better. And, you know, when you see that in a young man, that's pretty much all you can ask for, because let's just be real about it. Even when you have scouts out here scouting guys, they either hit or miss. I don't care if you're the number one pick in a lot of cases. of the cases is, you know, you got guys like, what, the Greek Freak? He was picked, what, 26? One of the best players in the NBA. Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. So you're in favor. You're pro. Thanks very much.
Oh, without a doubt.
Always good to hear from Tony. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got?
Dennis is up next.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
What do you think?
I'm in the wait and see. I don't think it's terrible. You know, I'm in the wait and see because two things I think that's important. Number one, we don't need a guy that's going to demand the ball at the post position.
Yep.
And he's not going to do that. And is he, I mean, this might be blasphemous, but is he that much different than Steven Adams? I mean, Steven Adams wasn't a guy that was a gazelle running up and down
the court.
He wasn't throwing down dunks from Ja.
No. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What I'm saying. He wasn't an offensive guy. I mean, and he's going to set those massive picks just like Steven Adams. And my last point, and see what you think about this, I think also to go with this pick, kick the tires on James Wiseman. They're going to release him. Now you got 3 7-footers. Put James Wiseman out there, you know, relieve maybe Jaren and Zach or whatever. I mean, just what you kind of think about that.
Thank you very much. We'll talk about that you're off the air. My suspicion on James is that they will not be interested in James Wiseman. Just because they will, don't you think they'll want another big? They'll get a reliable guy who they can count. And that's the thing about Wiseman. Wiseman, I suspect someone will roll the dice. You know. Just because it's shocking to me that it has gone as badly as it has for James Wiseman. Like, at worst, I thought he would be a guy who just hung around in the league for 14, 15 years being tall and playing some minutes and being... And that was the floor, I thought, for James Wiseman. So I think someone will take it. But I think the next big they will get, and we'll talk to Chris about this, will be someone who they can count on. You know, a guy who you can know you can throw in there. Who's next?
Nick. Nick is next.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. I mean,
you don't sound enthusiastic. I'll tell you that, Nick. Right off the top.
No.
You're catching your breath. You're sighing. You're gathering yourself.
Be your first curmudgeon.
Uh-huh.
I'll hope for the best. You know, 26. He averaged 26 a game in college and however many rebounds, 10 rebounds. I mean,
13.8 rebounds.
Okay.
Don't short the man.
But he put up good stats in that national championship game, but I remember they had to take Klingon out because of foul trouble, and they had that little 6'9", 6'10 forward. Edie just couldn't stay with him. I think if you do stuff like that on defense, you know, you hope he's good on offense. You hope he gets some rebounds.
That is the problem is foot speed on defense. That is the issue. Like it's
his footwork. I mean, it might be good in the draft combine and all that stuff, but you watch his footwork in that national championship game. I mean, that's when UConn really started pulling away, surprisingly, because you figured Klingon's the best guy on him, or vice versa, but I think the smaller forwards, and I mean, even
he's going to be played right off the floor in any meaningful game.
He'll have his spots, but I just think
let me ask you this:
it's just going to be hard.
Like Steven Adams was played off the floor against the Timberwolves in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So if you got Steven Adams with the 9th pick, would you have been happy? In this draft? See, I think I have... Go ahead.
Steven Adams coming out of college, I mean, he wasn't the Steven Adams that was here in Memphis or New Orleans.
No. If you got the Steven Adams that he turned out to be.
If you got the Steven Adams he turned out to be, honestly, he stayed healthy until he got here. I think there's an avenue where, Steven Adams could have been a lot better on defense that series. Or, you could have figured a way around it, but...
Well, I appreciate the skepticism of that, Nick. Thank you very much. And by the way, I share it. Like, to say that I understand the pick, I think it's a reasonable pick, I'm hopeful about the pick, but if we look up in 3 years and realize, he just didn't like the... I'm not ruling that out as a possibility. You know, I'm also not ruling out the possibility that Cody Williams would go the way of Zaire Williams. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Who is the sure thing that Dalton Knecht might be a sure thing as a shooter. But you know what? Here's the thing about Dalton Knecht. People are going to be outraged that they didn't pick the... He felt at 17, Lakers picked at 17. How wildly popular was he? Maybe he was, maybe Dalton Kincaid was kind of overrated. If he's that great, why did Dalton Kincaid fall to 17? You know? Who's next?
We have a perfect person to answer that question. Jeff.
Right, Jeff.
And he identified himself
as a UT
as
fan.
A UT fan.
All right, Jeff, how are you?
Hi, good. Yeah, I wanted to get my allegiance out of the way so everyone knows. And I am probably a Dalton Kincaid fanboy, but I wanted to say that I'm shocked to hear that the other Vol fans saw this as some sort of loss of a popularity contest, because I didn't see it that way at all. I mean, the Grizz need a big in the center. That is not an indictment against Dalton Kincaid. So I was kind of shocked to see that they thought that this was some sort of slight against Dalton. And then I would just like to reach out to those fans and say, hey, think about how if it doesn't work out for the Grizz and Dalton Kincaid crushes it for the Lakers, just think about how much you can enjoy the smugness of saying that you were right.
It's going to be a problem the other way, though. If Dalton Kincaid is lighting it up for the Lakers, it's going to be a problem. And it's worse that he's with the Lakers. Like, that is going to be a problem for Zach Kleinman and that front office. So
You can get ready for all the I told you so's and I told you so's and armchair
100%.
So those people can look forward to that low-hanging fruit.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll take some more calls on this. We got Chris Harrington at the top of the hour. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got?
We have Mario now.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
We're good.
Man, this is how I feel about the pick. One thing I can admire about the Grizz is they stuck with their guns. They wanted Donovan Clingan, but Zach Edey was the next big man on the board that they liked also. So I give them the credit to stick with. If you like a guy, whether you wanted him at 17 or 9, if you like the guy, get the guy. You know, this pick reminds me of the Michael Penix pick. I'm not overjoyed about it, but I'm not sad about it. The Grizzlies stuck with their guns, and like I said, we just got to wait and see. And I hope it pans out for Zach Edey. So all these people saying, I don't like him at 9. If you like the guy, you like the guy. Have a good day, Jeff.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it, and I agree. Who's next? Who do we got?
We got Billy.
Billy.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I, too, am a Tennessee fan, and I really kind of wanted Dalton Kincaid, only that thinking that we could get somebody in free agency for the center position. But
yep.
I don't hate the pick at all. I mean, I think they got what they needed. They needed a center, and we got it. What I am afraid of is, or I'm not afraid of it, I know Dalton Kincaid will be a star. I was watching that guy play. And the only thing that he dropped was, from what I heard, was because of his age.
Yeah, age and his defensive numbers were not what.
Yeah,
given that he's pretty damn athletic, he was not the impact, even in like the hustle stat, and that you would have thought. And so the age thing I've never really understood. Like, if he's going to be great, who cares if you get him at 23 or not? I guess they think there's less upside if he's older, but that always seems silly to me. To drop him because of age seems silly. But all the way to the Lakers at 17, now they're thrilled. And J.J. Redick, who you can imagine, a shooter, he's thrilled. You know, and right now, in fact, do you think he's going to be Rookie of the Year? Right now, the odds on Rookie of the Year are, as far as I can tell, I saw one book said the favorite, Stephon Castle, then Sarr, then Reese Hoshea, then Edey, then Dalton Kincaid.
I don't think they made a bad choice. I think they did a good with what they had. And I just was hoping.
You think Kinect's going to be a star?
I was hoping middle through the night that they claim it could have worked something out. We could have gave up a couple of assets or something to go and get him. When he dropped that far, but you know, that was just wishful thinking.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. If you're on, we'll get to you. If we're on, we'll take these with the folks who are on, and then we got a break and get to Chris Harrington. Who do we got?
We got Al next.
Al, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I like the pick. I never did quite understand why he was being trashed so much. We're not talking about a guy that's 7'4" that played on a Division III school, some obscure Division III school. We're talking about a guy that was a two-time player of the year in a conference, in the Big Ten conference, and the one thing you can't teach is 7'4". You can learn everything else, but you can't teach that. So I like the pick.
Right.
I never understood what all the criticism was about.
Thank you very much. We'll wrap up with Mike.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Yeah, fine. I think one thing the guy's going to give us is Steven Adams didn't give us. He can hit free throws late in the game. That was Steven Adams'
problem. That's true.
You know, and Dalton Connect is probably one of the more overrated players I've heard of and seen in college in recent time.
Why? Why do you say that?
He's really slow. His defense is bad. He had problems getting off the shot when the tournament was. He got into the tournament.
All right.
That's why I say that.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yep. All right, so that wraps it up. We got the Jeff Calkins Show poll still firing along, and the question was, how do you feel about the pick? Love it, hate it, or wait and see? And where are we right now?
So far, love it has 40.7% of the vote. Hate it, only 5.9%.
Look at that.
Wait and see, 53.4%.
We do have a couple other things before we get to Chris. We have those Rook of the Year odds, and that's just one book. Who do you think is going to be Rook of the Year? Who would you pick right now? You could forget it, just straight up. You just have to tell me who's going to be Rook of the Year.
I'm going to say I think it's going to be Sarr because of the opportunity he'll have.
Because he'll play massive minutes.
Because he'll play massive minutes. You pointed out to me he is a defensive guy.
He's more a defensive guy, and is that going to win you Rook of the Year?
It could. I mean, in this year's. I like Castle number two. Ricochet, I just think there's so many guys in Atlanta. It's going to be tough for him, I think, to get the numbers to win Rookie of the Year.
All right, yes or no? Zach Edey will be on the all-rookie team, first team.
Ooh, yeah. First team.
Five. You get five.
Yeah.
First team all-rookie. Zach Edey, I don't know if they do it by, do they do it by position? I don't think they do it by position. You could have Klingon and Edey, right? Will Zach Edey be on the first all-rookie first team?
I don't think he'll be on the first team.
And he will not be in the top five in all-rookie votes?
I don't think so.
How about Reed Shepard's not going to get the opportunity. Otherwise, he could.
I love that pick for Houston.
Yeah,
love it.
But I don't think he's not going to get enough minutes to be Rookie of the Year.
Unless they send somebody out.
Right, unless they make a deal or someone gets hurt or something, he has opportunity there. So there you go. We did have, if anyone's still on the fence, and this is why having Connor today is such a gift, because he gives perspectives that Jeffrey would not have brought to the table. And you're telling me there's another perspective that we haven't thought about here. What is that perspective, why he is a good fit on the Memphis Grizzlies?
It's the Zodiac sign.
Yes, and what does it tell us?
It tells us that he is an A-plus synergy fit. The Memphis Grizzlies, and apparently the most important one is his relationship with Jaren Jackson Jr. It's an A-plus. So
that matters.
That's all that matters.
That
it's in the stars.
Matter.
Jeff, it's literally written in the stars.
It is literally written in the stars. And then finally, we should hear from Zach Edey himself. See what sort of a fiery... We like fiery competitors in this town, don't we?
We do.
We like bigs. Like, we have a history of bigs with Z's in their name. You know, we got Zach Randolph, and I got Zach Edey, and now you got... We loved Jonas and Stephen Adams, so we like bigs. But we like fiery competitors. And here is Zach Edey during the NCAA tournament.
Zach, an unbelievable performance by this team, but by you specifically. What was your mentality in this game?
They thought they knew us, man. They thought they knew we had in our hearts. I promise you they did. We're winners. That's what we do.
Yeah, there's an F-bomb in there, too, which we took out. So we're going to take a break. Come back, talk to Chris Harrington. On the other side, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not going to get enough minutes to be Rookie of the Year.
Unless they send somebody out.
Right, unless they make a deal or someone gets hurt or something, he has opportunity there. So there you go. We did have, if anyone's still on the fence, and this is why having Connor today is such a gift, because he gives perspectives that Jeffrey would not have brought to the table. And you're telling me there's another perspective that we haven't thought about here. What is that perspective, why he is a good fit on the Memphis Grizzlies?
It's the Zodiac sign.
Yes, and what does it tell us?
It tells us that he is an A-plus synergy fit. The Memphis Grizzlies, and apparently the most important one is his relationship with Jaren Jackson Jr. It's an A-plus. So
that matters.
That's all that matters.
That
it's in the stars.
Matter.
Jeff, it's literally written in the stars.
It is literally written in the stars. And then finally, We should hear from Zach Edey himself. See what sort of a fiery... We like fiery competitors in this town, don't we?
We do.
We like Biggs. Like, we have a history of Biggs with Z's in their name. You know, we got Zach Randolph, and I got Zach Edey, and now you got... We loved Jonas and Stephen Adams, so we like Biggs. But we like fiery competitors. And here is Zach Edey during the NCAA tournament.
Zach, an unbelievable performance by this team, but by you specifically. What was your mentality in this game?
They thought they knew us, man. They thought they knew we had in our hearts. I promise you they did. We're winners. That's what we do.
Yeah, there's an F-bomb in there, too, which we took out. So we're going to take a break, come back, talk to Chris Harrington. On the other side, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.